What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Let's kick it. Little bonus edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. And the way these last couple of days have gone, I feel like I should tell you that I'm recording this at 11 a.m. on Thursday, January 16th. Because the news might be outdated by the time you hear this, if it's later tonight, because things keep moving to the point that I have sat down to do this a couple of times, and things have already evolved past what I had on my notes. So, all right, look, I'm going to break this into two different things. I'm going to start with the timeliest of reports, and then I'm going to get to the other one. So, first segment on this bonus edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Let's talk about a report that just came out within the last hour as I sit to record this. Tom Bogert of Give Me Sport reporting that Atlanta United have reached a verbal agreement with Middlesbrough on a potential Major League Soccer record transfer deal for Ivory Coast international Emmanuel Latelath. Fee in the region of $20 million, according to Tom Bogert. It's not done yet. This is a verbal agreement on the deal, and Atlanta are working to finalize the personal terms of the deal, the contract for Latelath. Now, we've talked about Emmanuel Latelath, talked about him on the Atlanta Soccer Tonight episode that came out on Tuesday night, which is now outdated as things have continued to evolve. He is a player who nearly went to the Premier League in August. Ipswich Town showed up with a £20 million offer on the last day of the window in August. And that was declined by Middlesbrough because they were not going to be able to replace him. Now, all the reporting out of Middlesbrough for the last couple of days has been that they are exploring and looking at their potential replacements for Emmanuel Latelath. This is a club that is in a good position in the English Championship, the second division, trying to get promoted back to the Premier League. They don't want to lose Latelath, but this is the kind of offer that would be very difficult for them to decline. This is a club that lost money last year. This is a club that needs to make money to be able to improve their team. This is a club that is a buy, develop, and sell while continuing to be competitive on the field. They want to be in the Premier League. The amount of money you make being in the Premier League versus not being in the Premier League, dramatically different. They want to get promoted. But it seems like they're in a position where they can't say no to $20 million kind of deal from Atlanta United for their star striker, Emmanuel Latelath. 26 goals and 56 appearances since arriving at Middlesbrough in the summer of 2023 from Atalanta. He had played in Switzerland on loan before that and done very, very well at St. Gallen. He was up and down during his time under Atalanta, where he spent time on loan with various Italian lower division clubs. It took him a minute to break out, but he did in Switzerland, and he has continued that in England with Middlesbrough. He's the kind of player that I think would really suit this team. Getting a chance to watch him and see him and what that would look like, trying to project it into Atlanta United's team. He has the quickness, he has the movement inside the final third, inside the 18-yard box specifically. I think he's a very, very good finisher. He's somebody who can score in a variety of ways. And he has that kind of pace that, look, is part of this. What I like about Lathe Lath is he's not purely just a fast forward. I really like his movement inside the 18. I think he gets to the near post well. I think he finds space and crafts space inside the 18 really well. But yeah, he's explosive and can run past people too. That is a good fit in Major League Soccer, which is a league that, look, has a lot of transitions. I think Ronnie Dyla is a manager who will want that ability to be able to play fast and play over the top and be direct in the right moments. They do want possession. You know, my question would be, Lathe Lath, is he a guy who can help in the buildup? Is he a guy who needs to help in the buildup? As we've seen, the game's evolving right in front of our eyes. Manchester City last year made a player in Erling Haaland work, and he wasn't really involved in the buildup, but he scored a boatload of goals. You can do it. You could do it in different ways, but I also think what we're seeing in Major League Soccer, and we've talked about this on AST, we've talked about it in other places, I know we've talked about it in pregame and postgame with Atlanta United matches, I feel like the league is evolving to where you're seeing more teams not be a team that wants 60% of the possession, but a team that wants a little bit like 55. They want the ball. They're happy to have the ball, but they're not purely tied to having the ball to create. I think you're seeing teams that used to be like the New York Red Bulls, for example. I don't want the ball to create. I want my press to create. I want less than 40% of the possession. Now those teams are like, you know what? We wouldn't mind having 45% of the possession. Well, we have the right players who will press and will do those things and turn you over and create those opportunities that now some of the possession-heavy teams are trying to avoid. The pressing teams are like, you know what? If we don't do that, we can make something happen with the ball, and the Red Bulls are showing that. So when you take that into the context of what Atlanta's building for 2025 and beyond with Ronnie Dyla in charge, he wants the ball. He's definitely going to want more than half of the ball in the game. But it's not as possession heavy because if it takes two passes to get into a dangerous spot, he'll take that. If it takes 10, he'll take that too. It's about getting into the dangerous spot with the ball. Emmanuel Lathe Lath, I think, fits that. Can he be that kind of player that when you need to build up against a low block, which teams are going to do, we've seen it at Mercedes-Benz Stadium many, many times, can he either get involved in the buildup and help create a better chance by dropping a little bit deeper, playing 1-2s, those sorts of things, or can he be away from the buildup and be the final touch, the final ball that he gets on the end of and puts in the back of the net? The second part, I feel really good about. The first part, I think we'll have to see, and I think that'll be a little bit of his evolution. He's a 26-year-old player, just turned 26. He's just broken into the Ivory Coast national team. He makes a lot of sense for this move. Don't get hung up on the $20 million outside of it being a record for Major League Soccer. I think that record is going to continue to be broken over the next few years and hopefully for quite a few years to come. Atlanta United has the money based off of the deals they did last summer. They have the ability to spend that transfer. The question when it comes to Emmanuel Lathe Lath at this stage, if a deal has been done verbally on the transfer portion, it is how much of a contract, what kind of fee, what kind of length, what kinds of other clauses, a release clause, whatever. What is it going to take to get Emmanuel Lathe Lath and his agent to agree to come to Atlanta United? The point in that conversation that I will bring up, because I think it's important here at this stage. Lathe Lath's agent is from Italy. That's where he started his career. The initial break of the news about an offer being made to Middlesbrough came from Italian sources, not from English sources, not from American sources. So the agent is going to be involved in this in a big way. The agent specifically talked about when the deal didn't happen for Ipswich and Latte Lath started the season a little bit slow this year. When it started to come good, the agent spoke to Middlesbrough media outlets, blogs, podcasts, what have you, and spoke about how maybe the player was struggling a little bit after not getting the Premier League move. But he expected a move to come in January. So I think the player and the agent, Matias Veneroso, are down with a move happening. He's done very well at Middlesbrough. This is the time to go. Are they down on a move to Major League Soccer? Or do they want to wait to see if West Ham, who needs a striker, if Ipswich comes back to the table, if, I mean, Arsenal just lost Gabriel Jesus. I don't think they're going to come to the table here, but do you want to wait and see? Is the player and the agent going to say, I want to wait? There's still a couple more weeks here in the window. Atlanta wants to get the deal done soon. Middlesbrough would want to get the deal done soon as well because they want to go get a replacement. If there is a slowdown, you have to look at that contract side of it. There had been initial reports that this had been a very healthy contract that had been offered to Emmanuel Latte Lath. No numbers were thrown around on that. So the latest reporting as I am speaking to you right now from about 40 minutes ago from Tom Bogert of Give Me Sport was that Atlanta United have reached a verbal agreement with Middlesbrough on a new MLS record transfer for Emmanuel Latte Lath of Middlesbrough. Stay tuned. That's part one of this Atlanta Soccer Tonight special. Part two could be a homecoming. Could be a very interesting homecoming. Could be one of the biggest moves in terms of emotional impact that we have seen in Major League Soccer on a player coming back to a club that they made their name at. You already know who I'm talking about, but I'll draw it out just a little bit longer. Stay with us on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on Off the Woodwork, wherever you get your 92.9 The Game soccer podcasts, also on the Odyssey app.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, I told you there was going to be a second part to this, and I haven't talked about Miguel Almiron yet. That news started to bubble up yesterday, right before Newcastle played. He did play in the match. He came in late as a substitute. Maybe his last time at St. James Park in Newcastle, representing Newcastle United, because many around the world have reported this as of now. Lots of different breaking elements to it. But Miguel Almiron is in the mix for a return to Atlanta United. Whew. Looked like he was going to go to Charlotte at one point last summer. Looked like he was going to go to Charlotte at one point in this window. Atlético Mineiro of Brazil made an offer reportedly to Newcastle that was not at the level that Charlotte was talking about or that Atlanta is talking about. But that has been reported out of the Brazilian side of things. All the reports out of Paraguay now, where Miguel Almiron is from, is that he is very close to a move back to Atlanta United, as is the reporting from The Athletic, as is the reporting from Give Me Sport, as is the reporting from The Guardian this morning, and everybody else. Talks are close. Talks are at an advanced stage. However you want to word it, it looks like this is really close to happening. The bidding that has been talked about in this range, and again, the price tag doesn't really matter if he's going to be a designated player. It's more for the headlines. It's more for the eyeballs that are popping out of people's heads all over England at the moment with this, because English media and English fans are not used to an American club throwing around upwards of $30 million to sign two players in this window that people thought, oh, it was one move or the other. People thought it was, that player's not going to want to go to Atlanta United. There's lots of talk from the Middlesbrough contingent right now about, oh, this is a wasted move for the player. Why would he do that? He could have been a great Premier League forward. The paradigms are shifting, and some folks are having a problem with that. But everybody's reporting that Atlanta United is making an offer somewhere between 8 to 10 million pounds. The Athletic had this more at the 11 million pound range. Some of it's guaranteed. Some of it is add-ons and escalators, etc. We're talking somewhere in the 10 to 14 million dollar range, to put a wide range on it. It sounds like it's really close to getting done, and it sounds like Miguel Almiron is really interested in coming back to Atlanta. And that's the other important element of this. The Brazilian reporting around Atlético Mineiro said that the salary offer to Almiron from Atlanta was around $5 million. Now, that's unsubstantiated. That is not clear if that's accurate or not. I think, putting the number to the side, this is a situation where Miguel Almiron's value is highest to Atlanta than anywhere else in the world. It's higher than it is to Newcastle. It's higher than it would be to another club in England. It's higher than it would be to another club in Europe. It's higher than it would be to a club in Saudi Arabia, for example, or South America. Miguel Almiron was a two-time MLS Best 11 player in Major League Soccer when he was here in 2017 and 2018. It's now 2025. He's not the same player. It's not fair to expect him to be. He's 30 years old. Played over 220 games for Newcastle at this stage. He's got more miles on him than he did when he was here. But he's still a very, very good player. He's still a player that just a couple of years ago had double-digit goals in the Premier League and helped Newcastle qualify for the Champions League. He's still a player that is beloved in that locker room, as he would be in this locker room in Atlanta. And that historical value in Atlanta is the bonus here. how many Miguel Almiron jerseys are going to be sold, with a new jersey coming on, the, by the way, a new home jersey coming. Perfect timing, right? To sign two big name players that are going to sell a lot of shirts. And Miguel Almiron would be in the top, tippy top range of how many shirts would be sold, how much merchandise would move because of his return to Atlanta. I mean, I know you guys are out there. Many of you are fans of this club. Probably a lot of you would buy a new jersey with Miguel Almiron's name and number on it. That's part of this equation. The on the field is part of this equation too. I think he's a perfect fit. I think he's an absolute perfect fit for what Ronnie Dyla wants to do with this team, especially if you put him in conjunction with Emmanuel Latelath, with Alexi Moranchuk, with Sabo Lobjanidze. What a group. What an attacking quartet, eh? A lot of flexibility with that group. A lot of speed with that group. A lot of explosiveness. A lot of work rate with that group. A lot of fluidity with that group as well, I think, with the idea that Almiron could play centrally as he did when he was here before, as he did at times at Newcastle. He could play wide on the right as he has with Newcastle, cutting in on his left foot. He could play wide on the left. We've seen Lobjanidze play on the right or on the left. We've seen Moranchuk play centrally or on the right. He could play on the left as well. He's left-footed. Two lefties in this group. Latelath running the channels would feast on what could be created behind him, because I think when you look at this team, before we get into the hows and the whys on Miguel Almiron, because I think it's important to know that as well. If these two moves that we are talking about here, Emmanuel Latelath and Miguel Almiron, if they happen, Atlanta United would go into the 2025 MLS season with two elite chance-creating fullbacks in Brooks Lennon, who will be recovering from injury, but has had double-digit assists in the last two seasons, was pretty close to that last year as well, in a year that some said was a down year for him. Pedro Amador, the rate of his assists after joining the club in midseason would have put him on a double-digit pace. Two elite chance-creating fullbacks getting forward. A central midfield that includes Bartosz Schlich, Mateusz Klich, Jay Fortune, who are all capable of getting forward and scoring goals and creating. Whatever permutation you put with that trio, all of them are capable. And then you have in front of that, potentially, Lobjanidze, Moranchuk, Almiron, three players who, in my opinion, are all double-double kinds of guys. Double-digit goals, double-digit assists. They all have that capability. Some seasons it'd be more on the goal side, less on the assist side. Some it'd be more on the assist side, more on the goal side. Less on the goal side. It's all possible. But roughly, you're talking about three double-double guys. That's massive. And then you have a player in Latelath who is a 15 to 20 goal a year kind of guy, maybe more. A golden boot kind of guy, based off what he's done over the past three seasons, one in Switzerland, two in the English Championship. Whew. That's special, and that's exciting, and that is worth getting excited about, and that is worth doing these additional podcasts where I'm refreshing to make sure that something else hasn't happened before I post this. It's worth digging into the details. And I do want this to be understood when it comes to Miguel Almiron, just so you know at this stage. Two elements to it. Why is this a deal that Newcastle wants? Why is Atlanta pushing it so hard right now? Why would Miguel Almiron want to come back to Atlanta right now? PSR is part of this. The profitability and sustainability regulations in the Premier League are part of this equation and how it affects Newcastle. Newcastle would like to keep Almiron for depth right now. They need it. They don't have a lot of depth. Eddie Howe likes him. He's beloved in the locker room. But Newcastle, who was right up against these regulations, were not charged with any point deductions or any breaches of them, but were right up against it. Essentially, they need to sell players to have more money to spend. The PSR regulations, the profitability and sustainability regulations in the Premier League, you cannot post losses of more than £105 million over a three-year period. Eddie Howe said that the club reluctantly let two young players, Elliot Anderson and Yankuba Minte, join Nottingham Forest and Brighton, respectively, because they needed to remain compliant. That was in the summer. Now, he was asked if the club was in danger of breaching PSR. He said that he didn't believe they were on that list. They weren't on that list. He said, we fought really hard against it in the summer to not be in that position. That's why the departures of the ones we didn't want to happen had to happen. So they weren't charged in the reporting that came out this week, just a couple of days ago. But you have to assume they're really close to those limits. So if you sell Miguel Almiron for whatever that number ends up being, pounds, dollars, what have you, dollars, somewhere between $10 and $14 million, that means you'll have that to be able to spend either in this window or in the summer, which is more likely in the summer getting a deal there. Newcastle's in a spot where they just really can't pass up the opportunity to get a decent fee, and I don't think they're going to get a better fee anywhere else. They passed up more money last summer, and they made the decision that they needed him in the squad more than they needed the money. Then they sold the youngsters to stay compliant. Saudi clubs were chasing then. Charlotte was chasing in the summer. I think it was higher transfer offers then than now. I don't think there's going to be more money because I don't think he's going to play enough for that valuation to change in July, August of 2025. This is the best deal that Newcastle can get for Miguel Almiron. He is surplus to their requirements. Even though they need him for depth, he's only started one Premier League game this season. They need to do the move. Atlanta needs to do the move now because they want him ready for opening day. Can you even imagine? Can you even imagine what it's going to sound like in Mercedes-Benz Stadium when he's announced in that starting lineup if he's ready to go and walks out on that field again and he's announced as part of it? I remember specifically after MLS Cup in 2018 and what I wanted to say to try to sum up everything that had happened over the first 2 years for Atlanta United when we knew that it was about a 95% chance that he wasn't going to be back in 2019. And I wanted to talk about how it had to have felt for him walking off that field for the last time. Well, we found out it wasn't. He actually scored a goal at the Benz with Newcastle in a preseason friendly. And you saw what that sounded like. Multiply that by about 50. And that's what it'll sound like for opening day if Miguel Almiron is in the starting lineup for Atlanta United. So they want to get the deal done. The player side of it, I don't think Miguel Almiron would make a higher salary anywhere else in the world than he would here in Atlanta. He would be a star straight away. He knows the city. He knows the market. He knows the club. He knows he'd be taken care of. He knows him and his family would be very, very happy here. He has been. It's the best move for everybody involved, and the timing is very important. One other element that we do know at this stage is more than likely something's going to have to be sent to Charlotte because they had the discovery rights on signing Miguel Almiron. Now, it sounds like they stepped out of this, but they know they're going to get something in it. A minimum fee of $50,000 in general allocation money is required. Charlotte got $400,000 from the LA Galaxy for Marco Royce's discovery rights. I don't know where the number is going to be in this one. It's part of the equation. It's not going to be part of the equation. It gets in the way. Whatever that GAM amount that has to go to Charlotte, it'll go to Charlotte. Atlanta has more GAM than any team in the league right now. They can afford it. It'll happen. It'll be annoying. It's an MLS rule to prevent teams from outbidding one another. It's outdated at this point, but it's a real thing, and it's something that Atlanta will have to deal with. It's not a big, big deal. It's just not. That'll get handled. I think the deal will get handled. It sounds like the deal might get handled very, very soon. Might have to record another one of these special Atlanta Soccer Tonights very, very soon. Because Atlanta United, to sum up, has, according to reporting in the last hour, reached a verbal agreement with Middlesbrough for Emmanuel Latelath, international forward from the Ivory Coast, has been a prolific goal scorer for Middlesbrough in the English Championship. That deal would be an MLS record incoming transfer fee paid out. And there's been a lot of big fees paid out over the last couple of years. Atlanta's paid a lot of them. Other clubs have as well. This would be a new record. That is a reported verbal agreement. They're down to the contract terms. All the other reporting when it comes to Miguel Almiron is that a deal is close. A deal is in the final stages, advanced stage, whatever synonyms you want to use, it is close. Newcastle want to get a deal done quickly. Atlanta want to get a deal done quickly. Sounds like a very large salary offer would be going Miguel Almiron's way. Don't see any roadblocks standing in the way of that one. Emmanuel Latelath, according to Tom Bogert's report, verbal agreement has been reached on the transfer fee. Now you're down to the salary. I don't know where that stands, and that's where things could get interesting. So buckle up on that side of it. Just keep the seatbelt on in silly season, because it could be a frantic one the rest of the way. Atlanta trying to fill these two designated player spots, trying to put together what could be one of the best attacks on paper in MLS history, and could be creating a whole lot of fun for all of us in 2025. As currently scheduled, and I'm going to put that caveat on it, Atlanta soccer tonight, Tuesday night, 10 o'clock. We'll talk about where things stand at that point. Things could be very different by then. And look, we got to break out the extra special microphone and get Mike Conti on AST. We will. We got to get somebody else on AST. We will. If there's more news to report, we will have another AST as a bonus edition whenever that time is right to do that. Make sure you are subscribed to Off the Woodwork. Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll get all of our soccer content on 92.9 The Game. The Odyssey app as well. Make sure you're following 92.9 The Game there. You can listen to the podcast there. Make sure you are following 92.9 The Game on all your social media platforms and following Longshoe. That's me. I'll let you know when this stuff breaks and when this stuff is being talked about, like this one. Thank you so much for spending some time with me. A very busy Thursday special edition of Atlanta Soccer tonight. Keep your fingers crossed. Could be a striker. Could be a homecoming of epic proportions for Atlanta United in 2025. Adios, everybody.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.